today on Path of Grace.
I remember being all religified and going out and witnessing and trying to do evangelism. I wasn't even sharing good news. I was threatening people, okay? And I saw it as an obligation, a duty, something I had to do. The gospel is different. The true gospel of grace is something that you don't share out of obligation. You share it because you can't hold it in. The love of Christ compels you to share it. You can't not share it. Like any truly good news, you can't keep it to yourself. For him who did not know sin in our behalf, he did make sin that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Listen, I am righteous. I am the righteousness of God. It's what Christ died for. Now, the first scripture I want us to look at together today is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to look at it in Young's literal translation. If you're sitting at your computer, go to BibleGateway.com and open up to 2 Corinthians 5 in Young's literal. Now, speaking of Young's literal translation, someone sent me a note saying that there is now a free Bible app for your smartphone that has Young's literal translation as an option, so you can take it with you. I think the app is called eBible, so you may want to check that out if you've got an iPhone or an Android. Might be a very handy download for you. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In this passage, we get a glimpse at something stunning. Let's start in verse 14. For the love of Christ doth constrain us, having judged thus, that if one for all died, then the whole died. Man, this is huge. When was my death penalty for sin carried out? 2,000 years ago on Calvary. When was yours carried out? 2,000 years ago on Calvary. That's when the work was done, which ultimately will rescue us from death, rescue us from the wages of the sin of Adam and our own sin. If one for all died, then the whole died. Verse 15, and for all he died, that those living no more to themselves may live, but to him who died for them and was raised again. In other words, the only logical response for you and me who believe is no longer for us to live for ourselves, but to live for the one who died for us. Verse 16, so that we henceforth have known no one according to the flesh, and even if we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him no more. So that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things did pass away. Lo, become new, have thee all things. So our identity is something new. It's not sinner. It's not failure. It's not rotten mess of a man. We might sometimes see ourselves that way, but that's not who we are, and that's not how Paul addresses us. Even if our life has been marked by what everyone would look at and see as sin and failure and rottenness, the good news, my friend, that's not who you are in Christ. That is not what gives you your identity. Your identity is wrapped up in Jesus. You are a saint. Not because you have been so saintly and not because you are currently super saintly. It's a gift of God given freely to you. That is good news. Verse 18. And the all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and did give to us the ministration or the ministry of the reconciliation. How that God was in Christ, a world reconciling to himself, not reckoning to them their trespasses, and having put in us the word of the reconciliation. Guys, the word we have for the world today, the good news we take to the world is reconciliation. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not reckoning our sin to us. Our job is to be ambassadors of this reconciliation, sharing the good news of reconciliation with the world. That's the word we're to take to them. Look at verse 20. In behalf of Christ, then, we are ambassadors, as if God were calling through us. We beseech in behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. Now, in another study, we're probably going to come back and talk more about you and me as ambassadors. Right now, look at verse 21. This is our main verse. For him who did not know sin, in our behalf, he did make sin that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Now, who is the one and only person to walk this earth who did not sin? It's Christ, the only begotten Son of God. The one who did not know sin on your behalf and my behalf, Paul tells us he was made sin. He became sin. He didn't just pay a price for our sin. He became our sin. My sin was nailed to the cross. Your sin was nailed to the cross. The sin of all mankind was nailed to the cross. He became sin. Now think about this. How much effort on your part did it take for Christ to become your sin? Was it something you did? No, it was done for you 2,000 years before you were born. He who did not know sin on your behalf became sin. It was on your behalf and my behalf. It was for you. It was for me before we were born, and it wasn't due to our effort. We had no part in it. Now keep reading. There's more. Verse 21. For him who did not know sin in our behalf, he did make sin that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Religion, even much of what is labeled as Christianity today, makes it about you making yourself righteous and people trying to relate to God, approach God, base their standing with God upon how right I have made myself, how right I am living, how I have shaped up. Let me ask you something. With that approach, where is the focus? You know where the focus is? Me. I. Me. But Paul is telling us it's all about Christ. If the focus is me, I become my own savior. My hope is in me. If the focus is you, you become your own savior. Your hope is in you. How sad is that? Where would you rather place your hope? In yourself or in the only begotten Son of God? Listen, Christ is a savior. My hope is in him. And let me ask you something. Whose righteousness would you prefer to wear? Yours or the very righteousness of God? Which would you prefer to have on your report card? Which do you think looks better? Which is more right? Your rightness or God's? Now, here's the amazing truth. Not only is the righteousness of God placed on your account, but as Christ became your sin on the cross, you are the righteousness of God right here, right now. So many, even believers, have been taught that in Christ they may have been forgiven their sin, which is true, but then, sadly, due to not rightly dividing the word and not understanding the truth, that Paul has given us a whole counsel of God for you and me as Gentiles this side of the cross. By the way, that doesn't mean we don't study the rest of the scripture. It's all for our learning. It's all for us, but it's not all addressed to us today. Paul's writings are addressed to us as part of the nations, as Gentiles today. Anyway, people see themselves as forgiven their sin, but they kind of see themselves as still walking on thin ice. If they stumble, if they sin, oh my gosh, now they're dirty, filthy, unclean, unrighteous, and on God's bad side. Again, that's the way it is when the focus is on me, rather than on Christ. Paul is telling us in this verse, a great exchange took place. Christ became your sin. And now, my believing friend, regardless of what you see when you look in the mirror, you are the righteousness of God. And it's not because of anything you've done, but because of what Christ has done. If you struggle with pride and self-righteousness, me saying that it's not about you but all about Christ might be offensive because you don't yet believe, at least not yet, but one day you will. I think most people listening to this probably believe. And if you do believe, hearing this truth, having it reinforced, it does something inside of you, doesn't it? It makes you want to sing and shout and give God praise and share the good news. And here's the cool thing. It's not out of obligation, which is what religion has people doing. I remember being all religified and going out and witnessing and trying to do evangelism. I wasn't even sharing good news, though. I was threatening people, okay? And I saw it as an obligation, a duty, something I had to do. The gospel is different. The true gospel of grace is something that you don't share out of obligation. You share it because you can't hold it in. The love of Christ compels you to share it. You can't not share it. Like any truly good news, you can't keep it to yourself. For him who did not know sin in our behalf, he did make sin that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Listen, I am righteous. I am the righteousness of God because God says so. It's what Christ died for. Take a look at Romans chapter 3 with me now. Romans chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 21 and look at several verses. Romans 3:21, and now apart from law hath the righteousness of God been manifested, testified to by the law and the prophets. So he's talking about righteousness apart from law. In other words, righteousness which is apart from your personal performance. And it's not just any righteousness. He's talking about the righteousness of God. Apart from law hath the righteousness of God been manifested. Verse 22. And the righteousness of God is through the faith of Jesus Christ to all and upon all those believing, for there is no difference. Now, righteousness does not come through my faithfulness or your faithfulness. It's through the faithfulness of Christ, the faith of Christ, upon all those believing. The moment you believe, you are the righteousness of God. And you can live in that knowledge and blessing and peace and freedom from the religious baggage of the world. Now, maybe, again, you don't believe this truth yet. One day you will. Verse 23, for all did sin and are come short of the glory of God. In other words, no one through their own effort can make himself or herself righteous. We all come short. Verse 24, being declared righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being declared righteous freely? Let me ask you something. If something is given to you freely, how much did you pay for it? If it's free, what did it cost you? Nothing. Christ paid it in full. Being declared righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God did set forth a mercy seat through the faith in his blood for the shewing forth of his righteousness because of the passing over of the bygone sins and the forbearance of God, for the showing forth of his righteousness in the present time, for his being righteous and declaring him righteous, who is of the faith of Jesus. Now, did you notice the emphasis on the righteousness of Christ and that we don't earn a state of righteousness? We are declared righteous and it has nothing to do with our performance. Verse 27, where then is boasting? It was excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. Therefore, we do reckon a man to be declared righteous by faith apart from works of law. We are declared righteous completely apart from our personal performance. Take a look at Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul is talking about his former life as a Pharisee, as a teacher of the law of Moses, talking about his status as a religious leader of Israel, his lineage, all the stuff he once took great pride in, like his strict observance of the law of Moses and the hundreds of other burdensome commands the Pharisees had cooked up, just like religious people today cook up command after command, requirement after requirement, and lay burden after burden on the backs of people. But look at what he says in verse 7, Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were to me gains, these I have counted because of the Christ loss. Yes, indeed, and I count all things to be loss because of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, because of whom of the all things I suffered loss, and do count them to be refuse, that Christ I may gain and be found in him. Check this out. Here's what I want you to see. Not having my righteousness, which is of law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness that is of God by the faith. Paul says, all those things I pridefully did as I was wrapped up in religious observance and self-righteousness, all those things I was just so puffed up about, he goes, I count them all as refuse. I've lost all of that, thank God, and it is garbage compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, the knowledge that we've been talking about today, my friend. And then he goes on and he talks about not having his own righteousness, which is from law, which is a personal performance, which, again, a person could take pride in, or if you're trying to relate to God based upon your personal performance, if you have a bad day, you begin to condemn yourself. Paul says, instead, I'm talking about righteousness, which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness that is of God by the faith. Now, let me ask you again, whose righteousness would you rather have, yours or Father's? Which would you prefer your identity to be wrapped up in, your righteousness or Father's? I think Father's righteousness sounds a bit better. How about you? Now, the righteousness of God is a state of being absolutely, perfectly right. Again, none of us look perfectly right. As we look in the mirror, we see ourselves in these mortal, corruptible bodies, and we can look at our lives and we find all sorts of things that aren't right. But a mark of our identity as saints is being perfectly right because we are the righteousness of God. Now, how right is perfectly right? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul tells us that you and I are holy and blameless in him, in love. holy and blameless. That's a mark of what true righteousness looks like, holy and blameless. He says the same thing in his letter to the Colossians. He says that Christ has presented us to the Father as holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. One translation uses the phrase unimpeachable rather than above reproach. I like that. The word translated as holy is a Greek word hagios. It means the most holy thing. Christ has presented you to the Father as the most holy thing because you are the righteousness of God. The word hagios is the same word used in Revelation when we read the words holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Now think about that. This is how Christ has presented you to Father. Holy, blameless, above reproach, absolutely righteous, clothed in the very righteousness of God. And more than that, Christ became your sin so that you would become the righteousness of God. And my friend, there is no way you could be more right than that based upon anything you could ever attempt to do. I'm James Flanders, and I'm learning to walk the path of grace and discovering more and more how good the good news really is. Thank you for being with me today. Be blessed, my holy and righteous friend. Be blessed, Saint.